Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Previously, I'm...
The football ramble.
And who have we got coming in? O'Neill Pardew? Pardew. Don't make me sick in my mouth.
Nah, by the time this show comes out, it'll be Pardew. That's my big thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you back, and it's lovely to be in the seat once again. I am in the rambling seat, and don't worry, because there are other seats around me, and they are filled by James or Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
I've got your back, Marcus.
I wonder where it was. And Luke.
All right.
Lovely to have you here, chaps. It's always a pleasure. We're going to start by asking the question, well, I'm going to start by asking the question, which footballer would you like to see release a song for Christmas? James or Jim?
You'll probably make me cut this out, just because you're all conservative women. remember Colonel Gaddafi's son played for Perugia?
No.
Right, one of my least favourite things about Christmas is Cliff Richard and his army of, like, just old women that buy his singles and tell you that, like, that's what real music is. Right, and annoying those people is a very, very good thing. So I'd have Gaddafi's son doing a cover of that Slade song, just something like, "It's Jihad!" That would annoy them a lot.
Ready with the editing bar.
Yeah. I thought you might not let me have that. So, other than that...
Carry on.
Yeah.
Cat City. What?
I'd have probably FIFA, like the FIFA executives, if I can stray from an actual footballer.
No, that's fine.
Doing
anyway,
like a really within sanctimonious version of Do They Know It's Christmas. Probably Do They Know It's Football.
Yeah.
Like sort of
for the
blessing
Qatar
all, for the Qatar World Cup.
Which will be around Christmas.
All these silly little countries that have never had football before. This would be horrible.
With sort of like their hands to their headphones, like really passionate. Well, tonight, thank God it's there. There you. Imagine like Sepp doing Jack Warner doing that.
Oh, imagine it. Jack Warner doing a little
glass
rap.
For Uncle Sepp.
Yeah. That would be good, actually,
That would be. Well, they're all swaying.
Yeah.
I'm moving it now.
Through too much Christmas sharing.
A big buffet. Each with a turkey leg.
Drowsy
instead of a
with
mic.
Food. Just swaying back and forth. Oh, the further I will.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
So, FIFA doing Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do They Know It's Football?
Do They Know It's Football? For the Qatar World Cup, as I say, which will be...
And the Russian one.
No, the Qatar World Cup will be probably played over Christmas.
Yeah. Right, okay. Final will be on Christmas Day. We're in charge now.
Not only are we ruining the Cup, we're ruining Christmas as well. A very strong start. Pete?
I'm going to go for the... this is Fairy Tale of New York.
Good, yeah.
I just like the idea of Kirsty MacColl singing it with Carlos Tevez. Who has a very loose grasp on the English language,
and he's in a band as well. So
yeah, exactly. Just her sort of throwing to him, and the boy and him just going
like Shane McGowan.
Like Shane McGowan. I'm sort of thinking that sort of thing.
You could have Chinaglia and Pele doing that as well. The whole sort of Cosmos vibe.
Oh yeah.
Just anyone who can't speak English would be funny.
I'd have thought maybe Stephen Hunt might get involved there.
Stephen Ireland?
Any of the Irish lads?
Yeah.
Let's be ridiculously stereotypical. Nice one, Petey. Luke?
I'll go for... I had a great thought on the way in, actually.
Go on.
Of one I could do, which was White Christmas by Adrian Mutu.
Nice.
Well done.
Satirical.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
Well, observational.
Yeah, they're very true, James. Very true.
I think whether he does the song or not, he will be having a white Christmas.
One presumes that Florence gets a lot of snow around Christmas. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go
for
one.
Whatever you want to call it.
I'm going to go for. Now, it's not technically... Well, it isn't a Christmas song, but it was number one.
Then you haven't
Christmas.
Got the points, then.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute.
I wanted to do Joey Barton Kung Fu Fighting earlier, and you said I couldn't do it because it wasn't a Christmas song.
Well, have you picked a Biffy Clyro song or something?
Yeah.
No, but it was number one at Christmas. Okay. So it will be within the Christmas song group.
Okay.
Big Sam Allardyce doing Mr. Blobby. Yeah?
I was going to go Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, you could have had. Yeah. Well, now, who do I give the points to? Which song's most likely to get to number one?
I don't think that's really a criteria.
It is for me, and I think it would be FIFA.
Oh.
They'd definitely get number one, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They'd make it happen.
One way or another, they would.
Yeah. James or Jim's got the points.
By crook or by crook.
Well, James or Jim. If they didn't get to number one, they would invent their own chart, which they were number one, and then claim it anyway.
I can't remember
they
last
started
time
off as
I
a rugby organisation.
Yeah. Right, James has got the points.
Brilliant.
Meanwhile, in the Premier League, when Manchester United played Arsenal, they won the points.
Yeah, I didn't get any points there. Well, I wouldn't have anyway, but still, that was disappointing. Arsenal were very poor. In fact, I don't think Man United were great either. A lot of people saying these sort of games, like teams cancelled each other out, but I think they both sort of started with a lot of trepidation. It looked like sort of pinball. I was saying when I was watching the game, like if you were to stumble across it and you weren't really into football and you didn't know who the teams were, you wouldn't think that was first and second in that. Yeah.
Well, compared to how Real Madrid and Barcelona played, a couple of weeks ago. Well, Barcelona, but you know, it was really frenetic, wasn't it? And urgent, and no one really were comfortable on the ball.
It was a very negative football game, I think.
Especially the first half.
Not many shots at all.
Surprising to see him give a league debut to the keeper.
Like, yeah. He played well, though.
He did do well.
He did, but it was an odd decision, you have to say.
Yeah, it was. Because, I mean, Fabianski's making less mistakes, but he's still making mistakes.
How you getting on, Lucas? Yeah, making less mistakes every week.
I lost my keys.
It's very weird match. I think the difference between Arsenal need to... I genuinely believe if Arsenal won the league in the next couple of seasons, they'd go on and win it again. It's just they haven't done it for a while and they just can't finish teams off. They can't grind out results anymore.
I think, given the opportunity they have in the Carling Cup, and that's no disrespect for the teams left in it, but they're sort of the traditional big guns are all that. They've got to go all out to win that, because only Gael Clichy in that squad has ever won anything. And he was very, very... Arsenal.
And that was at school, yeah.
Exactly, He was very, very young at the time. He didn't really play
it's
a lot.
It's a harsh penalty decision on Clichy as well.
Yeah, very much so. There's nothing he could have done about that.
Well, does the assistant referee want him to face plant himself into the ground, like break his leg? And he put his hand down to stop himself falling over, and the ball happened to bounce into his hand.
Well, I think it was after that, wasn't it? His hand was already on the ground when he
exactly,
hit the ball,
yeah, so exactly.
Very harsh, yeah.
Very, very charitable of Rooney to do the decent thing as well.
He did that little run up again.
Oh, Andy Gray loved that, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Oh, he could stop talking about it.
He said afterwards. I'm just going to run up and I'm going to hit this and I've put it over the bar.
Yeah.
I never meant to do that.
Mind reader. I didn't see that
Richard
coming.
Keys, Andy, are penalties getting easier to put over the bar?
coming back to the point I was making about the Carling Cup, though, is I think to breed that winning mentality at Arsenal, Wenger has to do that again because they don't know how to do it. And I think you're right, Pete. If they do find what it's like to win something, they'll go, oh, this is brilliant. Let's keep trying to do this. It looks like they don't believe it themselves.
They either win by scoring a canny few goals, classy goals as well, or lose. Just because they just can't grind out a result. Like, they just need to learn how to win again.
Odd decision to play Nasri Wide as well with his form.
He uses full time total, James. Best player in the Premier League.
History of the game.
Best player of all time. I mean, Nasri, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, their North London rival Spurs. Good point or bad point against Chelsea?
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
It's a measure of how far Spurs have come.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say after the game.
Oh, well, mind you, Chelsea haven't won at the White Hart Lane for a while.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of people after the game were saying if Chelsea answered a few questions, I thought they were rubbish.
Of course, the goal the keeper should have saved it. He had a funny afternoon, Gomez, and then made a good save.
Saved the penalty, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Drogba hit the ball so hard it basically went through Gomez. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, it was a good hit, yeah. But as you say, perhaps it's a measure of how well both teams are doing. They couldn't beat each other.
Well, Chelsea are 16th in the form league at the moment. Yeah. So that's genuine.
They're 6 points off the top, and I think the top team's got a game in hand as well.
It's like that bit. The whole of the league this year has just been that bit in Macbeth. I think I probably mentioned it before, where it's just like where the natural order of things is just completely askew. All the horses are bolting from the, from the stables. There's thunderstorms. There's lightning. Dunsinane's moving forward. It's just like it's there's something wrong with the Premiership this year, and I can't put my finger on it. It's frightening and scary.
Is it because West Ham aren't challenging for Europe?
It's the most exciting league the world's ever known.
But this does happen a lot at this stage, doesn't it? To be fair, it often. Sorts itself out, and hopefully it won't, because it'd be interesting if it's just a bit different at the end of the year. But I mean, City are ticking along nicely. Sort of, it's weird how they were sort of really hotly tipped and then written off, and now just people are so bored they're just not really watching what they're doing.
Hurry up and sign someone.
But would City be doing as well if the other teams around them hadn't just dropped so many points? It's coming down to who's losing it the least.
Absolutely.
Well, are we going to see Newcastle?
Bolton will win it.
Right. Well, Newcastle Pardew with an immediate impact.
Really?
Well,
are we going to go down that road?
Which one of us predicted Pardew as the next Newcastle?
I think it was you, Luke.
Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, you didn't pull that name out of the air. It was touted.
Right, yeah. I fed that line.
Educated decision.
Yeah, 3-1. What a goal from Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
He just hammered it, didn't he?
He did.
Absolutely. But he played so well. He's playing so well at the moment.
Roy Hodgson's league record away from home is absolutely atrocious.
Mm. Well, it wasn't great at Fulham, was it? So,
exactly.
Imagine it wasn't the Europa League. Big Sam's out of a job.
Mm. That's harsh on Big Sam. I heard him being interviewed on Monday Night Raw. Sorry, Monday Night Football. presented in a similar way.
Monday Night Medium
afterwards,
really.
And I didn't think I'd ever feel sorry for Sam Allardyce, but he just sounded like a broken man that had like the rug pulled out from under him. It's a really odd decision, because the owners of Venky's, I love that they're always called that. So they don't call them their names. They're just the owners of Venky's.
Yeah, of course,
it sounds silly. They're saying, we want the team to be finishing top four, or sort of thing, or maybe even better. It's just
wasn't this all about like Big Sam wanted some money and they said you can have like 8 million or something for like boys
wages.
In Middlesbrough and stuff.
He wanted a box, he wanted
Santa Cruz and a couple of other players and stuff, and they fancied slightly more budget players.
Yeah.
And that's apparently why there was a big falling out and he got kicked.
Alex Ferguson thought it was an absolute disgrace.
Well, they teed him up for that, though.
Did you see Ferguson when he went, it's a tough act to follow, I wouldn't fancy doing it myself.
Well, yeah, that's just a thing, a strange thing to say by Ferguson. But I mean, I think some people were saying that Ferguson requested that question so he could give his opinion on it because he wanted to back a big fat.
Now he wants to be interviewed, eh?
Yeah, exactly,
I mean, you've got to look at the position Blackburn were in when Allardyce took over. He's really made them stable, and I don't know what more they can expect in such a quick...
Can you remember when the owner said before the United game, we want Blackburn to start playing more expansive football and stuff and more entertaining football, and they got absolutely destroyed at Old Trafford. And then... but the thing is, even if they did sign up Rocky Santa Cruz, I mean, does Rocky Santa Cruz want to go to Blackburn and have like 100-mile-an-hour ball smashed at his chest all game?
Well, he was there, though, didn't he?
It's true, yeah. But they didn't play that sort of football under Hughes, that's a difference.
And they had David Bentley.
And Sam Allardyce, and whilst he's done a good job and he got up to 10th last season, and they'll probably finish around that this season if he stayed on. He just sucks the joy out of it.
Yeah, very true.
And I don't get a lot of people through the stand, through the gate at Blackburn. So, I mean, you understand it in a way.
Mm. Do you feel that now the position is there for El Diego to take?
Don't.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's getting really tedious now.
Yeah. There's talk. I was reading between the lines a little bit, and the owner said they're going to get an Englishman in. But you know, the manager of India is English. Bob Houghton.
Of course, yeah.
And he managed China and Uzbekistan and loads of things like that. And he just had a bit of a contract dispute with India. It's apparently supposed to be sorted out by now. But he was the guy who managed Malmo when they lost to Forest in the 79 European Cup final.
Oh, right.
Wow. And there's a chance he could go to Blackburn. That'd be interesting. Put two and two together.
Well, there's a chance of all the usuals have been mentioned. Martin O'Neill.
Well, Houghton.
El Diego. There it is again.
Hodgson's not very popular at Blackburn,
no,
is he?
No, Hodgson might be going there. Let's move on to the Championship, where Queen's Park Rangers, a.k.a. QPR, were beaten 3-1 at home by Watford.
And they only scored the consolation in the last minute. That was, well, yeah. Well and truly beaten.
The money men.
Your good start of the season.
Yeah, well, that would have been the record, wouldn't it? Their sort of would have.
No, I think they did.
The longest unbeaten run.
They equaled it, did they not?
I did think so, yeah. Colin Wanker will not be happy about that.
He's sat now, probably.
Yes, that.
Warnock out.
Yeah. Allardyce in.
Megson in, surely. We haven't had Megson for a while.
Megson Allardyce dream team?
Oh, now you're talking.
Hey. The
nightmare team.
Imagine it. They'd get players to hoof it up in the ball. Then
hoof it up in the ball.
Hoof it up in the air, that's what I meant. And then they'd get other players to sort of get on their shoulders just to see if they could keep it up there.
Yeah. Some kind of balancing act. The local eateries would do well, certainly. Leicester, did you see Sven tried to sign Dybeck?
Yeah, is that true? Would he sign the
good
entire...
Good to see it's realistic.
He's trying to get them all back. He's really got to sell.
He thinks it's like...
You get Michael Owen in, maybe?
Where's he getting all his money from? That's all I want to know.
Well, he's got a lot of money, I think.
It's probably his own money. He's trying to sign Dybeck, really.
I think Vassell... I think it was his first for the club.
I think it was his first shots on target.
No, he had that one.
No, he won that one last week, didn't he? Last week,
okay.
What was that? Oh, I don't know.
Or maybe it's goal.
Was
last
it an
week?
Assist? I can't remember now. I know they had one cleared off the line, didn't they?
I'd like to see the Sven Boys Club.
Just really not the entire World Cup 2006 squad.
What, 2002?
Yeah, that'd be even better.
Yeah, David Seaman and
Kieran Dyer.
Yeah, he definitely signed Dyer.
Where's David Seaman gone? You don't see him around that often, do you?
Golf.
It's golf.
It's golf.
In fact, I'll stick my neck out and say that if Kieran Dyer runs out of contract at West Ham because he's never done enough time, I can imagine Sven signing him.
Yeah, big time.
I can imagine that actually happening.
And maybe Chris Powell.
Seaman, not so much.
But Kieran Dyer's one of those players that will have a Premiership contract until he retires.
And even
if he's injured.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Right now, we were talking about Sven. Apparently, the head of the Iranian FA says he wants Sven as national team manager. I mean, it's the perfect job for him.
I would hate to be the head of the Iranian FA. It'd be one of my worst jobs.
It would be terrible.
Yeah.
Could you see Sven going there, perhaps?
I mean, if the price is right, absolutely.
I can see him just sort of like...
It's his type of position.
Like Maradona, he just seems to be doing a tour of football, but in employment rather than in retirement.
Sven's going around... he's now going back to the club scene, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Very true.
Harem of women, a load of money. That's all you need from Sven,
Well, it'd be a Sven Diego dream team, surely.
We should invite Sven to the Ramble Drinks and just tell him those things are going to be there.
It'll be...
Which they're not.
Not even half true.
Talking of people appointing managers, Wales have a new manager, Gary Speed.
Strange. I
like Gary Speed.
I'm happy about that.
Robbie Savage is raving about how it's the first correct decision the Welsh FA have made in years and stuff.
Has he seen Sheffield United?
One point above relegation or something.
Yeah, but Gary Speed.
Oh, he's a great player manager.
Attitude though, huh? A young manager's stock can be really high just because they're a good player.
Yeah, of course.
Literally nothing more to it.
He's not done enough to eradicate and sort of undo the hard work he did as a footballer.
Yeah,
5 or 6 years time, he definitely would have. Yeah, he'll be Paul Ince again. Yeah.
It really does management a disservice, really, doesn't it? Anybody could just like Ince. Like, I mean, I know he had a good start and stuff, but I mean. Like, I don't know. John Barnes, for crying out loud.
That's a good example. But you know, Gary Speed hasn't played for Wales like 6 years or something. But it'd be amazing if he pulled the shirt on again. Just for England. Pick himself. Fancy this one.
But there was talk of gigs going up there, obviously, which...
Kind of a bit too early for you, I think. Maybe in a couple of years' time.
Gigs are still playing.
That idea is mental. It's just like... If you were a comedian, would you want Larry David as your agent?
Just because he
was a comedian. Exactly. It's the same sort of thing.
I know what you mean.
Well, sounds like somebody sent an email off. Larry!
That's
right. Well, let's go to SPL because there's more talk of managers moving around. Can you believe?
Not only talk, it's actually happened.
Yeah, well, it has happened. Yeah. It's Craig Brown. Ramble favourite Craig Brown.
So nothing.
I thought I'd go to Aberdeen.
What? He's not Mrs. Doubtfire.
He doesn't sound dissimilar to Mrs. Doubtfire. I'd like you to concede that point.
Well, I like what Craig Brown said before he took the job. I think the day before he said Motherwell is where it all began.
Well, hang on a minute. Do it properly.
Motherwell is where it all began for me. The place is very close to my heart. Joining Aberdeen just didn't feel right. Next day he joined Aberdeen.
When he says close to my heart, does he mean I'm physically there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then he predicted that they may or may not win silverware.
One of those two things will definitely happen.
But he and Archie Knox were in the stand to see them getting a hammering off Hearts 5-0. Hearts in third, Pete. Only behind... only 6 points behind Celtic.
I think they've got a chance of coming third.
And nine behind Rangers.
Nine. Only nine.
Bloody hell. How about that, Pete? Cat just, amongst the pigeons, is it?
Yeah.
Cat amongst the old firm?
Well, it's a cat amongst
the cats. It's not
going to
happen, is it?
Exactly.
Well, let's be clear, it's not happening. But I'm behind Craig Brown, because Aberdeen's one of the few Scottish places I've been to.
I like it. Aberdeen are my Scottish team, I'm all for it.
It reminds me of Middlesbrough. It's quite industrial. Right. Coastal.
Where's it?
Reminds you of Middlesbrough. I'm trying to think of a worse insult.
Don't be nasty.
No, I'm joking.
If it's good enough for Mendieta.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah.
Stelling.
Yeah.
There you go. Stelling? Hartlepool.
Yeah, he went mental once because someone criticised Middlesbrough, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
He was just he was representing the North East in
he
general,
was.
I think.
Good.
Yeah. By working from London.
Yeah. You've got to go where the TV is.
It's like the old Desailly for Ghana, isn't it? I love Ghana. Play for France.
Well, anyway, Hearts on the climb there. Into perhaps the top two by the end of the season. Who knows?
Not going to happen. I will put any money on it.
Well, anyway, let's move on from leagues that are dominated by the top two. La Liga. Barcelona 5, Real Sociedad, I think that is in English. Yeah. Real Sociedad.
Right. Royal Society, that would be.
Royal Society. Very good.
Not
James.
Real Society.
For the protection of goals.
Royal Society for the prevention of
routes.
Scoring goals.
Well, it wasn't intercepting passes, was it?
No.
Why was that, James?
It was because Barcelona set an Opta record, didn't they, for most passes in a game. Something like 900 odd.
938, I think it was.
I'd be annoyed
if
that was...
from Blackburn.
Yeah, that was over a season or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was when Mike Newell was up front.
Yeah.
I think there was some stat. Xavi made a ridiculous amount of those passes. I'm not completely
935,
sure.
935, I think.
I think it was he made as many as Sociedad did, and he was only on for 67 minutes or something like that. The weird thing with Xavi is, like, you don't even notice him that much because he's so quick almost. Yeah. It's just like you literally can't see him. He's so fast.
Whenever he gets it, he gives it away. He'd be great at pass to parcel.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd never get him.
Well, it's like with Messi. I sort of resist saying it more often than not because I think it's just a stupid thing to say. But
treat yourself.
You never see the players against Messi, the defender's trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
It's like, just fucking kick him. But he's so quick. Like,
his
can't.
Fourth goal, he just walked in a line, turned around and just slotted it in.
Yeah, and no one
his
was
second
near
goal,
him.
Sorry.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. He just must be that quick that they can't even kick him.
Because you'll fall over.
But I'd just be annoyed if I was a Real Sociedad fan or even manager, maybe. Just, what were they doing while they put together 900 pissing passes? Double up on them!
Yeah.
It's like a pass every 5 odd seconds.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Not one big training match or something. You only had 1 second on the ball. Pass.
The thing I do love about Barcelona is the way that, because I caught the end of that game, and the way that they'll be like, 4-0 up in the 92nd minute, busting a gut to score another goal.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah,
you said about Xavi, didn't he only play 60 odd minutes?
Well, that's what
you
said. Yeah.
Oh, did you say that? Yeah. Incredible. Do you think though, Guardiola perhaps just before the game kicks off against the so-called sort of smaller teams like Sociedad?
Well, the other 18.
Yeah,
that's right. Do you think he just sort of shouts, "Right, boys, two touch," and then at the end when it's like they're falling up, right, all in.
Yeah.
Heads and volleys this half.
Yeah,
they could, that's the thing.
But I love a game of two touch.
Oh, I do as well.
The more you think about it, the more it's mental that they lost to Hercules.
Yeah, well, they have off days, don't they? They lost to Espanyol last season, which, you know, well,
last, I mean, they're season, flying this crazy, season, isn't it?
Hang on a minute, James, getting paid that much, you shouldn't have an off day, should you?
Well, no, you shouldn't.
Exactly.
There
you
we
should
go.
Often defy the laws of physics.
Yeah.
As we regularly
but
do.
I mean, you boys are right. I mean, it shouldn't be that easy for them. I know it's easy for us to say, but these other players are professional footballers. They're a professional team.
Yeah.
And some of them are of decent repute, you know. They should be at least stopping.
But
them.
They did the same to Madrid.
But not that level of passes, though.
No, but still, I mean, they still smashed them.
Yeah. Do you think the Sociedad manager, the when he put on his transfer wish list, he just put ball winner
to
the chairman? Get me one of them.
How would you set up a team when you're
get me Nicky Butt? I hear he's back.
Yeah. As a manager, I'd probably do what it seems like the rest of the league is doing, just sort of like, go on, lads, just enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Giving up programmes on the way out. There'll be an interval.
They're just waiting for the 90th minute so they can swap shirts.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you reckon they do the old... Because you know you see players sort of doing that. I reckon... What happens is, and you hear other players saying that their teammate or whatever a minute before the end, has legged it over the other side of the pitch to stand next to Messi.
Yeah.
So with it, follow Messi, have your shirt.
I think that's really unfair, because to me, the man who's marked Messi should get his shirt.
Yeah, but
people just queue up.
Nobody can mark Messi.
Yeah.
they had that 8-0 a little while ago, didn't they? Valdez was doing that thing he sometimes does, right, where he'll put his, if it's like 1-0, we'll put one finger up. If it's 2-0, he'll put two up.
Have a scoreboard.
And he just likes to do it on his hands. Yeah. But it got really weird. He got up to 8 on his hands. He must have worried he was going to run out.
Gordon Bennett.
One day they will run out. One day it'll be.
He will run
be
out of digits.
Absolute spanking coming. And it'll be 11 or something, or 12 or something like that. It'll just be. They need to do something.
That was a way.
FIFA needs to do something about it. They need to basically set up another sort of elite association where Barcelona just play Barcelona B every week.
Yeah. They've got a basketball team as well. I wonder if there is.
It was at the Camp Nou.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, not the 8-0. The 8-0 was away. The 5-0 was at the Camp
Nou. Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry. Yeah. Staying with Barcelona, I mean. We just have to mention it, you know. Yeah. They're an incredible side, and they're doing the biz. But they have a new kit sponsor from Qatar.
Are they going to be allowed into the 2020 World Cup?
It's all conspiring, isn't it? They will be. It's the first time that they're going to be paid to have a sponsor on their shirt in their 111-year history.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because the whole thing behind not having a sponsor on the shirt was that the shirt means more than any commercial interest, and obviously they were paying UNICEF to be on the shirt.
Well, they are in debt, though, aren't they? But
I mean, it's $25 million a year, roughly, until 2016. I mean, flipping heck.
It's not to get altogether unexpected, because Sandro Rosell, who's obviously the new president, he comes from a sports marketing background, and Laporta before him was very much traditional Barca and stuff, and I think a lot of people expected it because of Rossell's background, really. But so has there been a bit of uproar, is there? Or?
Well, I'd imagine so. I mean, the Qatar Foundation is what will go on the shirts. That's the sponsor. They're a non-profit organisation dependent on the Qatari state.
They will be now.
Yeah, but that's right, yes.
but the problem is...
They are dedicated to education and technological development in Qatar.
Just to add a bit of balance to the Barcelona loving, in the interest of everyone getting annoyed with us.
All
the Madridistas. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't really rate Jeff Wren.
They shouldn't have sold something.
Is that they have UNICEF on their shirt, but they went and toured and played games in Eastern Europe
Had sponsors.
With some pretty horrific regimes. It was Uzbekistan or Tajikistan, somewhere like that, and played games there, which is a bit hypocritical.
Their transfer policies aren't always too clean as well.
Exactly. With Cesc Fabregas and stuff.
And all their fans are on drugs.
What's wrong with you?
That's mostly the case.
Oh, Pete, do you not remember?
Pete sold them to him.
Yeah. I was on my space drugs from last week.
Well, basically, to clear that up, we saw two fans smoking weed in the
shelling peanuts.
Hang on,
themselves.
It was more than two.
No, there were loads. There were loads.
Three with Pete.
To be fair, even if it was 22,000, it's still not even near the majority of the stadium.
No, exactly, yeah.
But that all may or may not be true.
I think what we should do from now on, every week, we should all individually say something we don't like about Barcelona.
Yeah.
All right,
not enough English players. There you go. Said it.
Xavi's eyes. Quite bulging, pointy.
Far away.
Yes.
Far away.
Not in the Premier League. Yeah.
Crawl to animals.
Yeah. Too many stairs in the stadium.
Yeah.
Terrace at the back. Yeah.
Terrace at the back, yeah.
Yeah. What if I fall off? Thought about it. It'd be a good way to go.
It would, wouldn't it?
2-0 against Inter Milan. Yeah, I've seen worse games. Fulham Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I wanted to kill myself then.
If the cold didn't get you first.
If you're not in the right stand, you can't jump into the Thames.
I mean, the opposite could be that you feel you've peaked.
It's
not going to get better than this. Yeah. I've had a good innings. Off I go.
Right. Well,
God, I'm stoned.
Let's move on to Real Madrid just briefly. Cristiano Ronaldo. No, they're a lovely team. Some people think Cristiano Ronaldo said that his free kick against Zaragoza was one of the best of his career. Did you see it?
It was amazing.
A hit! It was one of those ones that
we just know
it dips, but like. It's almost like it's like a computer game.
Like a wind, like a bit of wind just took it.
Yeah, it just... It's like there's an invisible ceiling or something, and it's hit the, you know what I mean? Absolutely outrageous
yeah,
stuff.
It's one of those ones where if you're in a room and you're not looking, you just hear loads of people go, ooh! Yeah. It's a really specific sound when a free kick like that goes in.
I hope Del Piero is watching it. He might learn a thing about that.
Although, having said all that, Dani Alves thinks that Ronaldo's too arrogant to be the best player in the world.
That makes no sense.
Well, that's what he thinks.
It doesn't. It's not. It's no benefit. It's no bearing on it.
No.
You know, it doesn't make any difference. He either is or he isn't. I don't think he is, but not because he's arrogant.
It's like saying Dani Alves looks too much like a gremlin to be the best player in the world. You know, it's just the things don't equate.
It's a non sequitur.
Well,
Luke is too hairy to be a Calvin Klein model. Yeah.
Which is, well, that's not the
not
only
not the reason.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bit different, because that's one of many reasons. The other one being my fee's too high.
Well, if we're talking about awards, let's go to Serie A, because the Golden Bin Award.
Ah, my favourite award. Yeah.
Very British award. Very negative.
Well, that's not the name in Italian, of course. It would be a Goldene Bine or something.
all foreigners,
hey? All the facts. Yeah, yeah.
The old pizza bin.
Someone's been on Babblefish.
The Golden Bin, of course, is given to the biggest flop of the season, I suppose.
Someone's got the award to keep, have they?
And Adriano's won it for a record third time.
Yeah.
Poor old Adriano.
Bless him.
Just try, Adriano.
Oh, I feel sorry for him. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him for his two-fisted punch that time.
Tell you what. Also, I don't know if we mentioned this back in October, but we'll just have a brief recap if we did. The Golden Foot Award was won by Totti as well. So another Italian winner.
Was that for booting Balotelli in the back of the leg?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But that is the...
The Good On You Award.
That is I have to mention this, because this is my favourite award in football, actually, apart from all the other good ones. This is given to players who stand out for their athletic achievements and for their personality, and they have to be over 29. And this is when you're
very specific.
Yeah, it's basically
almost designed exactly for Totti's, I would say.
But you can only win it once.
Okay, right.
And this is when your footprints are put in what would you call it?
A mold. Plaster cast, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. On the Monaco Promenade.
Mm. Yeah, we've mentioned it in the past.
We have, yeah. So I just
Totti's got it, has he?
I thought I mentioned just it. On, that was a couple of months ago.
When you mentioned Balotelli earlier. He went mental about being subbed off. No Man City player wants to be subbed off. I mean, they don't know how it works. One of you has got to be subbed off. If you're going to make a substitution, it's got to be one of
you. Did you see his face, though, when he looked at each other?
Like slapped off.
When Tevez went off, it was like the 91st minute or something.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're in a need to start playing rugby. You need more people.
Back in the day, Ginola for Spurs used to get taken off religiously like a couple of minutes for the end to get a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Use it as that. 91 minutes, what are you going to do?
Remember your ego.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that's what they do. They've just got it the wrong way.
I think their snoods are too tight, yeah?
Snoods made onto Monday Night Football this week as well.
Oh, you're joking. No.
Richard Keys just going, what about the snood, eh?
Never seen that before.
Shut up, Richard!
I didn't enjoy Colin Murray's little tirade against Barton. Whether or not it's a problematic thing that he did, just the way he made it sound like he'd just done something horrific, horrific, like really stabbed a guy in the face.
Yeah, all it was.
Well, we're not going to show it on television. He grabbed his crotch.
Set the scene, Pete.
Joey Barton grabbed his crotch, made a sucky sucky face at
Torres.
We would all do that in this.
I would be sincere. Yeah, I would actually mean it.
You're always looking for a prison wife.
I'd have some drawings that I'd done. This is you. Yeah. This is me. and Colin Murray and who was on the seat? Lee Dixon on it. And they were just sort of treating it like it was a. He'd done something
terrible.
He's done worse things. And you've shown it on Match of the Day.
He's done worse things on the
field.
In fact,
I didn't know what it was at the time, because I have no internet at the moment. And I feel like a 1940s depressed man.
You look a bit like
that. Yeah. And I honestly thought it was like something about like Hillsborough or something like that, the way they were talking about it. It was
a massive overreaction.
So little.
It was almost like they didn't know that he's been caught on CCTV putting someone down at Solomon McDonald's and pounding him in the head.
I should remember
it's relatively mild.
A few years ago, it wasn't Match of the Day 2 then, but I still remember a French guy jumping into the crowd and kick a man Yeah. I seem to remember that happening.
But that's exactly the sort of thing. You see, for example, if you set the scene, they overreact to the point of what you've just mentioned. But if Match of the Day, too, had an interview with Eric Cantona, they would have a little joke about, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Remember when he did that?
Well, yeah. The week before, they had a joke about how Ginola and like, Dixon used to kick and elbow each other all the time.
Mm. That's far worse.
Yeah.
Gazza grabbed some. Was it Gazza grabbed. No, Vinnie Jones grabbed somebody else's testicles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, heaven forbid, Pete, we come across as hypocritical about this.
Yeah, but we know. Yeah, but we don't refuse to talk about stuff.
No, that's true. Yeah, absolutely right.
If anything, we talk too much about stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
We carry on when the music fades.
But they do.
Hypocrisy is different from that.
Yeah, they do it like with Paul Scholes. Look at Paul Scholes. He's rubbish at tackling. that was actually a really dangerous challenge.
Yeah. You can't use your fist.
Exactly. Spartan.
Can I move on to Serbian football?
Please do.
How about that?
Mm. We're all up on it, so...
Red
Star... Pub quiz, hot shot.
Yeah.
That's enough. Red Star Belgrade, James, have a new manager.
Good name for a team, that.
It's the great man as well.
It's Robert Prozinecki.
Hey.
Dwarf. The career path is arcing its way towards Rotten Park again. Cute, for a couple of good seasons under your belt over there, Bobby P.
Yeah, you'll smell the smoke before he arrives.
Yeah, I will. Great. Exactly. You know, it'll turn up on the mail train overnight with a bag over his back and a cigarette and a big beard. But you know, I was saying last week that I'm really happy with Steve Cotchell as Portsmouth manager.
I remember it well.
I would like to reassess that if Prozinecki is interested.
Or you were making kissy faces at Houghton.
Yeah, well, I think Houghton's a good manager, but I wouldn't take him over Cotchell.
You're fine with
Billy Davies, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly, I'm not Billy Davies.
Pompey won again at the weekend, didn't they, away?
Yeah, get on that.
Yeah.
Way to Norwich, you were doing all right.
There you go. Yeah, we mentioned
Nugent
that.
Nugent rips into pieces.
Gordon Bennett.
Bloody love the Nuge.
Oh, dear. Oh, speaking of goal-scoring strikers, last week, of course, I said Humberto Suazo. I correctly said Humberto Suazo was one of the top scorers in the Mexican League. Luke then put me into a little corner with James and Pete at his side and said, was he the out-and-out top goal-scorer? I said yes, just so the show could carry on.
That's very fond of you. It's good to put your reputation on the line like that, Marcus.
Yeah.
Which, do I have a reputation anymore?
Not anymore. Yes.
Not that you know of.
I've seen some toilet doors.
And he was second top goal scorer that season. He did one off Christian Benitez. He was
Chucho.
That's right, yeah. The Ecuadorian player, I believe.
Well, what I was saying was, if you're going to stick your neck out and chuck a curveball in there, research it properly.
One thing I can
tell
you...
Can you hold back that quote, Pete, just forever? Always got that to drop in at an appropriate point of hypocrisy.
Yeah. And whilst we're in the Latin American region of planet Earth, Estudiantes won the league.
Are we going to a sort of alien league next? Just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about FIFA if you want. It's the next best thing. Estudiantes won the Argentinian league with Verón as their talisman.
El Brujita.
Yeah,
he looks like a pirate. I forget about that. Yeah. Looks like he's plundering doubloons.
I think every week I say, how old is that? I have a problem with time. Yeah, yeah. Genuinely think I'm melting down.
How does it work?
How old is he now?
Yeah.
It's quite nice for that Estudiantes with Verón in their side. I think that's the second time in very recent years they've won the league because they're going through one of their best periods.
It's a real family affair for him. Well, that's his dad was a big player
in the late 60s. His father, as you say, they won the trophy three times.
How old is he now, Marcus? Old is he now?
He's 27.
It's nice to see Verón doing well at the end of his career, you know, because he had that reputation as just not being very good in England, which really wasn't fair.
Was fair in a certain way. Yeah, he was a great player anyway.
But it just didn't quite work for him in this country, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad player just because one league doesn't suit you.
Rubbish in this country, but I reckon that's where I'll be brilliant.
New Zealand, for example.
Well, I was average there.
I remember when Verón played for Chelsea and they played Lazio, and he just tore them apart, just absolutely ripped them to pieces.
Because
he suited that sort of game.
He's enjoying his football over there by the look of it, so that's great to see. Did you see as well that a club we talked about from DR Congo,
Dr. Congo,
recently, TP Mazembe?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They've just made it through to the final of the World Club Cup. They beat Internacional 2-0. Surprise result, but excellent scenes.
Yeah, Internacional will be gutted about that. They really look forward to it. Well, I know all the teams do now, but specifically in South America, they've always really looked forward
absolutely
to it.
Absolutely right. And at the risk of going back on what I said earlier about researching your facts properly, I think they're the first African club to get to the final.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Listeners, get your emails
ready. What to do.
When's the final being played? How old is he?
Is it Carnu that set this off in you?
Oh dear.
In the absence of a listener jingle, email.
Get your listener jingles in. Podcast at
stepuprumble.com. Pete's just thrown his email away.
He dropped me email. I was so angry because we've had a couple of entries, but very much just... we haven't had a single one that wasn't just stolen from somewhere else, effectively.
Exactly, yeah. We had the Seinfeld slap bass, I believe.
Yes, yes, I sent that in. Emails. Rob Giddings has been in touch. Ramel Fosho. I've just got back from the wonderful All Tomorrow's Parties Festival at Butlins in Minehead, this time curated by Bell and Sebastian. I believe Pete has attended a few of these glorious festivals in the past, and Luke, let's not forget.
I was there,
And we'll attest to how much fun they are. On arriving at my chalet and looking through the list of bands, I noticed that one of the DJs playing after the band's finished was a certain Pat Nevin.
Surely not
rodent-faced Chelsea legend turned actually...
He's not rodent-faced, very harsh.
He is a little bit
rodent-faced. Very harsh on the professor.
Turned actually intelligent and insightful pundit Pat Nevin, I exclaimed, and then forgot about it for a day or two. Until standing in the crowd to see Scottish indie pop star's Camera Obscura, who do I know is standing in front of me but the very same Pat Nevin. I later found out that he had also been special guest referee for the final of the five-a-side football tournament earlier in the day. At about 1 a.m. I then ventured into the Crazy Horse pub. Legendary pub, that, isn't it?
Yes, a very good pub, yeah.
To watch as a room packed with fair indie boys and cute indie girls danced very badly indeed to the classic sounds of the Pixies, Blur, Franz Ferdinand et al. Being thrown out by the Nevster. As a side note, Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand was also dancing away until Grandmaster Nevin played Take Me Out, at which point Alex swiftly left the room. I suspect he doesn't like...
more appropriate to punch him.
Humble.
I suspect he doesn't like that song anymore, as it was conspicuously missing from their set list the previous day. All the best, Rob Giddings. You were there, Luke, weren't you?
I was there, and I can go one better than Rob Giddings. Very enjoyable email. I actually met the professor, Pat Nevin. And you know why he's called the professor, don't you?
Tell
because
us.
He was apparently, and this is the terminology that was used, caught reading a book on a coach on an away game.
Oh,
and so all the players called him the professor. He's reading a book. I don't even know what the book was. But anyway, so I actually met the professor. I saw him... I just need to really sort of skirt the correct side of libel here. Bumbling around.
Bumbling around, like a professor would.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Glasses on as well. And I went, Pat, can I have a photo? And he said, yes, you can. And he came up to me. I gave him a hug. Took a photo. Nice chap. Very, very nice guy, actually. In fact, it's fair enough to say. But on the DJ thing, I was actually also in that pub when Pat was DJing.
Oh, yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of
in there at the same time.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of DJing going on. There was a lot of getting up on the stage, telling the bloke who was playing the record what to play, going back, sitting down next to a girl, and drinking a beer.
That was managing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More of a musical director.
He's not working hard. He's working smartly.
Exactly. Yeah, he's here for a good time, not a long time.
He's done his ATP badges. You know, he's earned the right to have an assistant stuff.
Play that Franz Ferdinand one. Yeah, they'll dance round and round. Where's I've Alex seen Alex gone? Kapranos. Alex, come back.
One thing I did think was that when I got there, Luke Moore
from the Football Ramble.
I saw a poster saying Pat Nevin's Indie Disco, and I thought it was like a joke.
Yeah,
I was
like, oh, it sounds like a band, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was actually him.
No way.
Bizarre.
Cheers for your email, Rob. Anyway.
Yeah, good stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Ooh.
Do you know
what?
Do you know what today is?
No.
Today is Chris Waddle's 50th birthday.
He's never 50.
So who's coming in?
It's Mark Bright, ladies and gentlemen.
How dare you?
No.
You couldn't put Mark Bright in technically because he wouldn't stop talking long enough to be inducted.
Christopher Rowland Waddle.
Great stuff. In he comes. Chris Waddle.
Probably the first Rowland in there.
One of my favourite players of my formative years. I know we give him a lot of banter, but in fairness, no. Excellent player.
Yeah. It's just one of those men that shouldn't really have had a media career. It's just one of those things that you kind of undo you.
He's punching above his weight.
He's having a go, isn't he?
Yeah.
He does have a go. Yeah. Quite a bit, doesn't he? It's strange.
I don't think we should be dishing out things about people having media careers unfairly around this table.
We weren't even the good grace
of being footballers the first time around.
He was born on the 14th of December today.
Down a mine.
1916.
Very northern.
Down the mine he was
1960.
Oh, 7 years before the Summer of Love.
Oh,
sorry.
Won the sperm race.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
To people from the northeast yeah. for that accent.
Well, I've got peaks. I used to know my
Right. Yeah. Well, what a player he was. A former England great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a fair amount of caps.
Yeah. Well, and a very important player in the most successful England team of recent years.
Mm. Yeah, a very important player in the most successful team in a tournament off English soil as well.
Mm. That's right. Very true.
He started out his footballing career at a local non-league side, Tolaw Town, when he was in his late teens. And I think this was when he was working at a sausage factory, quite famous.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
He was. That's absolutely right. Because in the book All Played Out by Pete Davis about the story of World Cup 90, he has unprecedented access to all the England players, and Chris Wilder's obviously one of them. Chris Wilder comes across very, very good, very, very grounded, nice chat. He's always referencing about how he's got his feet on the ground because he used to work at a factory and stuff. And
a bit like Pete, really.
Really happy. Yeah, exactly. No, but he's humble. No.
Off mics.
Less ridiculous hair.
Well, we'll come on to that, no doubt. He's quite a tall guy. He's about 6'2", Waddle.
Tall for a winger, I'd say.
Well, that's right. Mm. A gangly winger, really.
Don't really hear that much.
No, exactly. Perhaps the point I'm making. I think he was in his sort of late teens before he signed for Newcastle.
I can't even picture him as a teenager. He's sort of gangly.
One. It's like Bruce Forsyth, one of those people who's always been old.
Mm.
Well, he's quite youthful. Tough. He's still quite youthful looking, aren't he?
I was going to say, I think you're a bit
nowadays. He's got a bit of a fat face, but I just can't believe he's 50.
Both national treasures, arguably.
He still plays as well, Waddle. He's
an absolute pervert for playing. He'll play any sort of match. He plays Masters pretty constantly. He plays right throughout his 40s and all that.
I remember you saying this before, and because he does a lot of charity matches, doesn't he? And
he never
point he was doing like two or three a week.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
that's just being football.
He loves playing football.
He's going to play for the Ramble.
That's right, yeah. He of course signed for Newcastle, as I said, and he was playing alongside the likes of Keegan and Beardsley.
Mm. What a team.
What a team, Pete. Mm. This was in the early 80s. And I think, did Gascoigne clean his boots?
I think he might have done, yeah.
No, he didn't even not be refused to.
Yeah.
That's right. Set fire to them as a hilarious prank.
I think, yeah, I think that's right, yeah. And he was a part of the team that won promotion to the top flight of English football in 84. And he made his England debut in 1985. But it was soon after that he moved down to Tottenham Hotspur and linked up there with Glenn Hoddle.
Hoddle and Waddle.
And of course there was a song, wasn't there?
Diamond Lights, what a number. What a number.
For football.
It's great the fact that Hoddle takes it so seriously and Waddle looks just a bit embarrassed to be there.
But why did it ever happen?
Waddle said he was more nervous than when he took the penalty in the semi-final before.
Took the what?
Less successful.
The penalty. Whereas Hoddle, you can see, he's given it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he loves it.
Hoddle's far bigger time.
Hoddle thinks it's his calling. Hoddle thinks if I wasn't being a footballer, I would do that.
I can do anything.
Yeah, when they always ask that question to footballers, what would you be if you weren't a footballer? And a lot of them say, I don't really know, I never really thought about anything else. Oh, I'm not the brightest, so maybe a labourer or something. Mm. Hoddle would be like, international pop star.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be international. Yeah.
And that's just the first life.
He was part of the David Pleat's Spurs team. Imagine him and David Pleat having a conversation.
Mm. Evening, everyone.
A lot of funny things said there. The 87 FA Cup final, the Keith Houchin final.
Oh, yeah.
He was a part of that team that lost there, sadly. He's lost a number of finals throughout his career. That was the first one, I think.
What a header.
Quite sadly. Oh, well, it was Keith Houchin now we moved on to.
Hartlepool legend Keith Houchin.
Yeah. Indeed. He was a part of the England side that was in the Euro 88 Championships, which was... pretty rubbish. he was really sort of playing some great stuff when he was at Spurs, cutting in from the right and onto the left.
I loved his dribbling style. I used to say he looked like he was drunk when he was on the ball.
That's right.
All over the place, but it's great to see.
He loved a dribble. He really did. Oh, yeah. But he wasn't all about pace. I mean, obviously he was...
Trickery.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays wingers just whack it, try and get it to the byline and cross it in from there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We're starved of players like Waddle in England now. Mm. Wonderful stuff. He was, as I say, he was playing for Spurs, and then he went on to play for Marseille. And
Marseille were a big team at the time.
Marseille
was easy to forget.
It was great to see him go overseas.
This was in the late 80s. And
it was at Marseille World Cup 90 for
89-90, sure. Yeah, that's right. They paid £4.5 million for Waddle. And he became the third most expensive player in the world behind Maradona and Ruud Gullit. I mean, that's huge, yeah, you know. Yeah. This is how good he was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had World Cup 90, which unfortunately ended in tears, literally, for him. But he had a good tournament, as you said, Luke.
Yeah, he did have a good tournament, as did Barnes and some other people around there, obviously, because they got to the semi, which is the best performance of an England side since 66. But the problem with Waddle, in my opinion, is he didn't contribute as many goals as he should have done, and that was apparent in that tournament. But other than that,
he was a big provider.
He was, but the problem is that people will judge him on that penalty miss when they shouldn't have done, because it was a good tournament and they played well. England were a good team, and it was almost like a flick of a corner who's going to go through, you know. And those German penalties, no keeper would have got anywhere near anything. Yeah. Every single penalty was perfect.
There was a famous story about how Bobby Robson had meant to put Dave Besant on the bench, wasn't there? Because he was really good at stopping penalties. Yeah, but he messed it up and put Chris Woods on. And so just stuck with Shilton.
But no keeper would have got near him.
They were
perfect penalties.
They were proper, like, four-sprung Dirk's technique.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
After World Cup 90, he was playing... He was playing for Marseille, as I said, and he was playing alongside Papin and Tigana and Abidi Pelé, and they are considered by a number of people one of the best sides in French league history. You know,
he was in great company. He was in great company in that World Cup 90 squad. That midfield, you
great
know,
company alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was Barnes and Gascoigne and
Lineker,
Robson for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Robson for a very small time.
Yeah. But for Marseille, they won the French championship three times in a row, 90, 91 and 92. He's still adored by the Marseille fans even now. And speaking of which, actually, I spoke to top brass Andy Brassel.
Oh yeah, World Football Finance Andy Brassel.
That's right.
And Football Ramble blog contributor, the top brass himself.
Exactly. And he said the last time he was at Marseille's ground, he saw in one of the shops there, in amongst all the other usual.
But was the last time he was there, like 1991?
No, reasonably recently. And he said it was a T-shirt with a picture of Waddle's face on it, with a slogan that just said "Waddle Attitude."
That's so weird.
Yeah. Make what you will.
Yeah,
make what you
will.
I
want one of those.
Yeah.
Well, don't we all? And of course, Marseille got to the European Cup final of 1991 against Red Star Belgrade.
In one of the most amazing advertisements for European football
ever
seen.
Red Star, about 10 minutes in, thought, we're not going to win this, let's play for penalties.
Yeah.
And they did, and they won it.
On penalties.
Which was such a shame.
Is it fair to say penalties of
dog to that man's
career? Jim's got a theory that the reason Chris Waller can't say penalty, he says penalty, is because he's been psychologically impaired by the act of taking a spot kick.
He missed one for Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, remember how bad it was for Southgate? And that was awful, really awful. He was the first person in an England shirt to go through that. Penalty miss kicked off this whole sort of national phobia we have of them.
But the one he took
was woeful.
No, I'm not going to say that. The one he took was 3 inches away from being a brilliant penalty. It only just went over the bar. It just carried on rising.
But it did. That's the thing.
Yeah. Southgate was on target.
So you could argue that if it missed the target, it was woeful by definition.
Wasn't Waddle and Pearce in that advert, that McDonald's advert, pizza advert?
That's right.
Miss.
Yeah. Miss.
Miss.
That was
you don't call a waitress miss, especially if you're a professional footballer.
No,
you just call her
get over
tits
it.
Yeah. Or something.
Tits.
I'm going to continue with the profile.
Or if you're down on the South Coast, you don't get served at all in Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
if you've read the newspaper recently, the black players didn't get served.
Oh, very obscure reference.
If you've read the newspaper, it isn't.
Yeah, it is about football as well. So.
Yeah,
on the way to the 91 European Cup final, Marseille played Milan. And it was quite an odd one, because after they drew at the San Siro 1-1, they were 1-0 up from a goal by Waddle, and then they had a floodlight failure with a couple of minutes remaining. And so both the teams went in, and when they got it sorted, Milan refused to come out. What? They said because, well, we replay the match. You know, we haven't. It was just under Sacchi, and he said, yeah. They were like, no, we've completely cooled off now. This is ridiculous. And UEFA said, well, if you don't go out, then we'll award Marseille a 3-0 win. No, no. And they gave Marseille a 3-0 win.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they just needed one goal. And
Sacchi's Milan as well. In 89, one of the greatest club sides of all time.
But as I say, Morton got that goal. But apparently he did a bit of a job on a young Maldini.
It was a baptism of fire.
Indeed. But of course they lost the final, which was a great shame. And in 91, Papin won a European Footballer of the Year. And French journalist told Waddle that had they have won that game, it's a bit odd, but apparently they told him before that game that if Marseille had won it, then they were going to give it to Waddle.
They play for the same team, though.
Well, it's ridiculous, yeah, isn't it? But that's how good that year was for him. He was being touted around for European Player of the Year, but still couldn't get in Graham Taylor's England squad.
Because he was a bit of a victim, really, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, it was. I mean, he's a luxury player, don't need him. That was the whole kind of thing, which was absolutely ridiculous. But as Waddle said, you know, I could never understand this when I was playing for Marseille. My role for Marseille was to make goals for Papin and entertain.
Yeah,
that is just brilliant.
Nice.
Isn't it?
Nice.
Absolutely superb. Now, you know, we talked about he's adored by the fans. Well, at the end, at the turn of the century just gone, he was voted.
But it wouldn't be the century before that, would it?
Well, of course.
He was good.
How old was he?
He was voted second in Marseille's player of the 20th century, only behind Jean-Pierre Papin.
Wow.
Great. Not too shoddy.
Not too bad at all. In 2003, Thierry Henry named Waddle in his all-time dream team lineup.
Nice.
God, you can't argue with that. No. That's high praise indeed.
He became a catchphrase as well, didn't he, on the Far Show?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Chris Waddle. Yeah.
For all you comedy fans,
listen to this. They're comedy fans.
In '92, he returned to England, signing for Trevor Francis Sheffield Wednesday.
That's right. Yeah.
1.25 million. And in '92,
that's where I remember him most. And then I sort of learned a bit about his history and thought, wow.
Yeah. Well, in 92-93, Wednesday got to two cup finals, losing to James or Jim's Arsenal.
Yep. Steve Morrow nearly died in the process.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Morrow.
In the semi-final of the FA Cup final.
The semi-final of the FA Cup final. What a fixture. What a tie.
What a hit.
In the semi-final of the FA Cup... I'm feeling ill, forgive me.
You do sound husky.
Thanks. Sheffield Wednesday versus Sheffield United.
Oh, hey. Steel City derby.
Yeah. In the semi-final.
Stakes couldn't have been higher.
In the semi-final.
The banter between Pulp, who probably supported different factions.
No, it's Def Leppard. Def Leppard?
Yeah, they support.
Let's not forget the beautiful South.
Well, can we? Waddle scored a great free kick in that game. Absolutely superb.
He did. Did not miss a penalty that year as well?
No, that was later on when they were away to Wolves.
It was for Wednesday, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for Wednesday. In 93, for Sheffield Wednesday, he got voted... He won the vote for the Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year. Sheffield Wednesday. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's how good he was. Still can get in the England squad, though.
Ridiculous.
A couple of, fast forward a couple of years later, after playing some lovely stuff for Wednesday, he was plagued by injuries, and in the mid-90s, he left Sheffield Wednesday and went to Falkirk.
Scotland, yeah. No, Scotland,
to try and get a bit of fitness and a few games under his belt.
People do that all the time. I feel a bit unfit. I'm off to Falkirk.
Where my mullet will look normal.
Yeah, he'd have a mullet by then. He got rid of his mullet for the semi-final of the Cup in 1990.
I'm sure he kept it.
World Cup.
That's right. And then, he was only at Falkirk for a handful of games before he went to Bradford City. Who were they managed by at the time? Chris Kamara.
Oh, great stuff. Unbelievable, Marcus.
That's right. And Chris Kamara, I can remember vividly Kamara talking about him. And he kept saying, honestly, my chairman is going to be right annoyed at this, but Chris Waddle should be playing in the Premier League. He kept saying it. Yeah. And he kept saying, oh, my chairman's going to be right annoyed by this. But, you know. And do you remember that goal he scored for Bradford against Everton in the Cup? The lob from about 40 yards.
Don't see enough of them these days, those lobs.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, great stuff.
Oh, Delish. And then he went to join a Premier League side after Bradford City stayed up on the last day to join Sunderland. But they were relegated and he didn't stay there very long.
Blunderland.
Exactly. Yeah. Then he went as player manager for Burnley, didn't do too well there. Then to Torquay United.
Gloss over that.
Walksop Town and Glapwell.
He'll play anywhere. He will play anywhere.
He's still playing now, as Pete said earlier. He's still knocking it about now.
And if he's not, he's down the arcades playing that game where you've got to kick a ball as hard as you can.
Oh, yeah, that one. Not bad at all.
I like that one.
I'm not sure why he would need to be doing that.
What do you mean?
Just if you can't find a game on.
If you can't find a game on.
Just play with himself, kick it, cross it to himself, head it, and then save it himself. I've seen you do, Pete.
Just an incredible career, really. And he's a big advocate of the of going abroad and having a go. Because he said that he learnt so much when he went to play for Marseille. And he said it's such an eye-opener. And he said when we got the ball when he was playing for Marseille, we played patient football and it was about possession. It was like a waltz, you know. And the England team does his head in. I tell you, he goes on about... Because you think of the midfield and the strikers and all that England had. I mean, Beardsley, Gascoigne, Lineker. Mm. They're all cultured players.
Yeah.
They really were.
And it's weird how, like, the club teams, you sort of hear people sort of saying, I want this team to be entertainers. You never hear, apart from possibly Brazil... You never hear that from the national team. Yeah. We just want to put on a decent show for everyone. You know what I mean? It's like weird how you've got to win at all costs, and it's kind of like at the to the detriment of the football that actually gets played.
And in a way, that is really more appropriate to international football.
It should be
entertaining your nation.
Well, Wardle's saying that, he said, you know, that's what football is about, giving something people something to smile about, you know.
Mm. Otherwise, it is just a load of Manchester all around.
Indeed.
Have fun with it, everyone.
Yeah. Listen to Chris.
A call to arms.
We've learned nothing else from this podcast.
Yeah. Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
Listen to Chris. And Pete. Chris and Pete.
Yeah. That's together at last. That is a sitcom.
We didn't say nothing, Jeff. Yeah. We were looking at each other, if we're completely honest.
Yeah. But actually, Pete, you're a bit of a right winger. Would you say you've modelled yourself on
what,
on the
racist?
No, you're a winger.
Can we talk about Chris Waddle?
Just one of the Pete bases his wide game on the way Waddle.
Mm. Or his politics.
It's a rhetorical question. I know he doesn't. I've seen him play. I just wondered if he set out to do that.
Didn't see enough of him.
No.
I don't think any of us will love.
I'll leave the last words to Chris Roland Waddle. He said that when he was remembering about his time, he said, players would often say things to me during the games, such as, oh, if I wanted to stop you, I could have. My reply was always the same. Don't worry about it, mate. Maldini fell for it too.
Oh,
nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, come in, Chris Waddle.
Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to email us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Woo!
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
See you later, yeah.
We're all off to join Sven's Boys Club.
Cheers.
On the way.
Drugs. Sorry.
On the way.
Alan Valderrama.
Pete's got rid of this.
I'm going to edit this tonight, you shitbags.
On the way to the 91 European Cup final.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.